Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know. God is on the move today.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another Sunday Night Live. I hope that you enjoyed Michael Munu last week. He is always such a joy to have on the show, especially being really good friends with us. And anyway, I hope that you were able to be strengthened by that. But I'm really, really excited tonight because I have a special guest, first time ever on the show. And before I actually introduce her, I want to just let you know how I met her. Here in Wheeler, we had a women's conference. And at that women's conference, we both were able to partner as speakers at this women's conference. And so I got to meet her for the first time, and I just love this lady, and I was so excited and looking forward to having her on the radio. And so I'm going to go ahead and introduce her to you, Miss Tara Carr. How are you, ma'am?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Yes, I'm excited. You know, I feel like once I met you that there was just an instant, you know, connection, and I'm sure a lot of that has to do with the same motivation and the same spirit that we carry within each other, that just can't help but just be connected with like-minded people.
Yes, I felt the same. It's always an amazing feeling to be around people that have the same spirit and want to just go deeper with the Lord.
That's right, and just pursue Him. Well, so if you wouldn't mind, if you would just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, you know, where you're at, who you are, what you do, and just kind of give us a little history of you and your life.
Okay, well, there's a lot. So, Lord, just pull out of me what you want to say in Jesus' name. And so,
that's right.
You know, for me, from the bottom of my heart, I just feel like I hope it can give somebody hope, because, you know, the world, they always say, you know, you got to have this or you got to have that in order to do these things. But see, we know as children of God that God doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the called. And
Amen.
So He qualifies us to go and do His will and to do His work. And, you know, for me, I had such a night and day experience with Him. It was so undeniable. He took my life from ashes to life. And when I just fully surrendered absolutely everything to Him and realized that my way was not the best way, that His ways are so much higher and so much better than mine. And I literally just died to myself and just asked Him to live through me and, you know, just gave Him my life as an offering, as a living sacrifice. I just saw Him in every moment of my life. And, you know, he doesn't promise us that everything's going to be perfect, but it's our circumstance wise, but we're perfect in Him because we have Him. And we know that we fight different than the world, and we fight from a higher place. We are seated in the heavenly realms with Him, you know? And so we just know that, you know, as children of God, that we literally can defeat the enemy every single time because it is the Holy Spirit through us in the name of Jesus. And He told us, you know, He was going to take us from glory to glory. And we know that sometimes in the refining process of going from glory to glory, it's a little bit painful sometimes, but we want him to refine us, and we want him to burn out every impurity, you know? And we want him to just fill us up so full of him that he's the only thing that can live in us. You know, and just to make it clear for all the listeners, I know that I would never compare myself to the Lord, but I'm so thankful that he lives in us and through us. And he said that when he went to sit at the right hand of the Father, that he was going to bless us to be with the Holy Spirit, and we would be able to do even greater. Well, that is him through each and every one of us, and in the name of Jesus. And so we just have to realize, you know, we are representatives of him, and there is no limit. And you heard me talk about this a lot at the women's conference. What is impossible for man is possible with God. I feel like if I could encourage anybody out there, my life has been a situation where in my weakness, he has been my strength, and he has filled the gaps. You know, whenever when the world says there is no way, he's always made a way. But I just haven't. I've had to stand on the word of God. I've had to not look at the circumstances around me. The circumstances around me might look horrible, but it doesn't matter because I'm seated with Christ in the heavenly realms as well. We might be in this world, but we are not of this world. And so we fight these battles differently. And through Christ, we can win every single one of them. And I just feel like so many people, they think that they just have to get stomped by the enemy whenever really the Lord gave us the authority to tread on serpents and scorpions in the name of Jesus. And nothing shall harm us in Jesus' name.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
I feel like so much of the church just takes a butt whipping from the enemy, and really we should be giving him the butt whipping. He should be running from us, you know?
That's right. And, you know, I know a little bit about your story because you had talked about that you had a dramatic experience with the Lord, or day and night, I guess, maybe so. And so would you say that during that time, before you really were following the Lord, that you were experiencing that, the enemy just coming against you and you not knowing it and being defeated?
Yeah, so before I'd fully surrendered everything to him, I mean, I was saved, but I was straddling the fence. I hadn't fully surrendered, so I was still like, you know, I was one of those people that I wanted the lifeboat, but I hadn't gotten to that place of full surrender where I wanted to become like a Navy SEAL for him, you know? And now I just want to be everything he wants me to be. But at that time, I hadn't reached that point yet. And so I didn't understand all the tactics of the enemy. And so that's why, you know, before I was fully surrendered, the enemy was just attacking my mind. He was attacking my, who I am. And I didn't know how to fight him because at the time, I wasn't rooted in the word like I should have been. I wasn't seeking God like I should have been. And that's why it's so important for us to make the Lord our first priority, because we know that the Bible says seek and you will find. It doesn't say seek and maybe, it says seek and you will find. And when you find him, you get to know him, and when you get to know him, all you're going to want is more of him. And so I think, you know, for me, another thing that was such a game changer is when I started living every moment by the Holy Spirit and through the Holy Spirit, and being in my word, you know, because we know as Christians that the Holy Spirit and the word will never contradict each other. And so having that extra confirmation and being rooted in both helped me fight the enemy, because when the enemy would say, you're not good enough, I would say, no, because of what Jesus did for me, I am good enough.
That's
right. And I could just completely shoot that arrow back into the enemy's camp, you know, and keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
But before, I did not understand that. And see, I feel like that is why so many people have mental issues, why so many people go crazy, why so many people commit suicide. Because we know in the Bible, you know, whenever Jesus cast that demon out of, when he cast that demon out into the pig, what did the pigs do? They went and jumped off a cliff. They committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
See, you know what I'm saying? So, like, so I feel like so many people are so unaware that literally they want to say, oh no, they were just, no, this is a spiritual battle. And you have a choice. We have a choice to either access the authority given to us by the Lord through the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, or to let the enemy stomp on us. And I chose to be with the Lord and to use the authority that is given to us. But I just think that so many people don't know how to access that.
Yes, I totally agree. And, you know, I love that you're bringing that out as far as those thoughts and how you counteracted that thought. Because that's one thing I always say is you can't keep the thoughts or the things coming into your mind, because they're going to come. It's you're going to choose whether or not you're going to believe it. Are you going to believe that, or are you going to believe what the Word says? And then once we do that, we don't know. We normally have never been taught how to counteract that by saying, you know, like when Jesus was in the desert, what did he do?
Mm-hmm.
He encountered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he came back with the Word. And that is exactly what you're saying, and I love that. If we as Christians would see that we don't have to be defeated.
Yeah, and I feel like that is so that is one thing that he's had so heavy on my heart lately, is declaring scripture over our lives, because we know that his promises are yes and amen. And I mean, you know, Psalms 91, what an amazing scripture to declare over your life. Isaiah 54:17, you know, it says, but in that coming day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken. We don't have to take the enemy's stuff. We have all authority over him. That's our inheritance in Christ.
Yes. And, you know, and it makes me think of that scripture that says, that the battle is not, and I'm just paraphrasing, but the battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities, powers, the darkness of this world. And that is the battle. The battle is not between us, but it's between that spiritual battle that's going on in the spiritual realm.
Yes, and I just encourage people to add, you know, we don't pray until we're done. We pray until the Lord gives us an answer. We pray until he shows up. We pray till we feel that release off of us. Like, you know, I feel like so many people, they go to pills or whatever for anxiety, depression, whatever it may be. I'll tell you, if you'll get along with Jesus and you'll cry out to him for help, that will have to leave. He will reveal to you by the Holy Spirit how to pray and speaking in tongues. He will reveal everything that needs to be revealed. And he will lift that off of you, because we know in Isaiah 10:27, it says the anointing breaks the yoke. Jesus Christ is the anointed one. He can break every chain off of you, every yoke off of you. But it's understanding. And I got to say, to live in the abundant life that Christ has for us, it's not for lazy people. It's not for lazy.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be
That's
lazy,
right.
You know, I mean, you got to get up and you got to make him a priority. But I will say this, you know, it might be harder at first. But once you start truly living with him every moment, that's all you're going to want to do. Because you have, like for me, I'm like, Lord, I have to have more of you every moment. And just for the audience, so I'm not perfect, but I don't ever want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't ever want to do wrong. So if I do wrong, I repent and keep moving forward. You know,
and
try not to do it again. But, yeah, I just, man, I feel like there's so many people that are still living in captivity. And through Jesus, we have freedom. We have freedom.
That's right. That's right. And so I know just from the conference a little bit about you, you said that there was a time that you felt like the Lord was leading you into a new path. Would you be willing to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, he does it a lot. And it just depends, you know, you have to go where he's calling you to go. That's where the blessings will flow. That's what's anointed. You have to go where he's commissioning you to go. Like, you know, sometimes you see people stay in a place too long and it's not a good situation. Things die. They're not listening to what the Lord's trying to tell them to do. And we have to go where he's calling us to go, because that's where we're going to be blessed and that's what's anointed. But there's been a lot of times in my life, you know, where the Lord will tell me to do something different. I train barrel horses. And I have a salon and I have a husband and a little boy. And so I have to really, really balance. And my day is, you know, it's on a schedule, but every moment's with Jesus. Nothing Nothing is separate. Yeah. Every moment I want to live through him and with him with a pure heart, all for his honor, for his glory, for his praise. And, you know, there was a time in my life, though, that the Lord did ask me to give up the horses because I believe with all my heart, and I didn't know if he was going to give it back or not, but I believe with all my heart, just like when he tested Abraham with putting Isaac on the altar, you know, he wanted to see if he would do it because he knew how important that son was to him. He wanted to mm-hmm. see if he would do it. And I did, and I put those horses on the altar, and I gave it up, and I served God's people, and I still serve God's people. But since then, he has given it back. And it was for a while. And honestly, whenever he was trying to give it back to me, I was like, I mean, I asked him to confirm multiple times because I did not want it to be me.
I get it. Yes.
I didn't want it to be me. Because I'm like, God, all I want to do is serve you. Like, but see, here's the deal. Psalm 37:4 says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll bless you with the desires of your heart. Well, when you become so delighted in him and so consumed by him, his desires are your desires. Because we know the word says that when you are united with Christ and you've been born again, you are of one spirit with Christ. So I always pray, you know, Lord, please take all my selfish desires and burn them to the ground in Jesus' name. And Lord, please bless me with the desires and the will and the plans and the dreams and the prophecy and the plans that you have for the life that you have blessed me with, so that through your Holy Spirit, I can immeasurably and exceedingly fulfill everything that you've called me to do, all for the glory mm-hmm. of God, you know? And
yes.
He knows from the bottom of my heart, I don't want anything of me. I want to do everything for him. And I want to encourage somebody out there that, you know, if God could put something so deep in your heart, and it just seems so like far away. I have to tell you, there's been so many times I've had multiple jobs trying to do what I'm doing because I knew God told me to do it. I do this. So, you know, right now the Lord has, the horses are kind of, I would say, probably the thing he has me with the most right now, besides ministry, of course, and my family. But, you know, I do hair as well, and sometimes I do woodwork on the side just to make it work. So when people tell me, you know, that God didn't promise it'd be easy, but he's not going to let us suffer forever, you know? And so he's not going to let us suffer forever, but we have to endure. We have to endure, and we know that that good things are coming, and Proverbs 16:3 says, commit all you do to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. And, you know, Colossians 3:23 says, no matter what you do, working it with all your heart is working for the Lord and not for man. See, God blesses that. He honors that when we do it for him and not the world. So it doesn't matter if you're working at McDonald's or you're working at Arby's. I'm not saying anything of that. I'm just saying in general, whether you're mowing lawns, whether you're riding horses, whether you're the president of the United States, whatever we do it with all of our heart as working for the Lord and not for man. And he blesses that. He honors that because yeah. it's to him. It's like a worship, you know, because we're doing it for him.
That's right. And, you know, I think about as you're talking, because, you know, you're married and you've got a child. And I just think about where you're at in the process of your life to where I am at. You know, now I'm going into the season of my life where my kids are getting married and we're starting to have grandkids. And so I've been able to walk. And as you were sitting here saying, you're saying just do what God tells you to do, delight in him. And we don't know at the time, and we may be struggling in the middle of it, but now I am in the part of my life where all those times I decided to say yes, I'm seeing the fruit from it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes
yeah.
you don't see the fruit until it's 10, 15, or 20 years later.
Right, right.
And so, yeah, and so wherever you are at in your life, whether you're, you know, just starting out as an adult and you're doing your thing, or you're older, just keep mm-hmm. saying yes, and you never
yes.
know why God is leading
yes.
you there, but you will see the fruit of that later.
Yes, I agree 1,000%. And you know, the other thing is I think just keeping in mind, this is not about us, this is about the Lord and blessing his people and us serving. See, I think that a lot of times, you know, see, the world and the kingdom of God, it's different, because the world, it's like the higher up you go, it's like, the more butlers and whatnot you have, right? But Jesus, the highest of high, he came and he was washing people's feet.
That's right. He came to serve people.
Yes, to serve. And so we have to keep in mind, you know, at the beginning and end of every day, Lord, how can I bless you today? How can I bless your people? This isn't about me. I want to encourage somebody through the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, and I want to do it for you, Lord, you know. And we want to touch his heart. See, we want to touch his heart, but because it's not about us. It's about him. And, you know, if he never blessed us again, he'd already blessed us more than we deserve when he gave us the gift of eternal life. But you go reading through the Bible, and he's so amazing that he continues to want to bless us, and he's just so good, you know.
Right. Right, you know, and as you know, thinking about, you know, doing these things for Christ, the world doesn't see it that way. And we have to realize that we don't operate like the world does, because the world has more of a me mentality, like what can help me? What do I want?
Right.
But the kingdom of heaven, which is who we are in Christ, we are not of this world, but we are of the kingdom. That's how we operate. Lord, how can I be a vessel for you?
That's right. And, you know, I love that you just brought that up, because God doesn't undercut his people. He uses everything for the good of those who love him. And he turns everything for the good of those who love him. So when he brings, you know, two Christians together, you know, I might think you're blessing me. You might think I'm blessing you, but he worked it for both of our good, and iron sharpens iron, you know?
That's right. That's exactly right.
And so, yeah, I wish that the world understood that God never runs out. It talks about that in Ephesians 3. He never runs out. He has unlimited resources. If we could get the kingdom of heaven to fully understand sometimes I was listening to it the other day, and they're talking about how when people leave, whether it's a church or whatever, it's like, you have to understand those are God's people. And if you're in the will of God, he will bring more. You know what I mean? And it's like, God is doing with all of his children that are following him, and he is our provider, not man.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That is so right. And, you know, going back to being a vessel and doing those things of God and not looking at what the world thinks. And you said you wish the world knew, but they can't know because they don't have Jesus. And they can't understand because they don't have the Holy Spirit. To them, they think it's gibberish. They think it's hogwash. And some of them might even think, you know, you're just this crazy nut. And that's where we have to realize that, no, I am who I am in Christ. And you just don't get it. You just don't understand. And if you ever did, then you would be living a life full of joy
and peace that's beyond this world's understanding, you know. And I believe, you know, in the Word, it talks about how you'll know a man by his actions. And that's another thing, you know, discerning. You know, people can say they're this or they're that or they're Christian or whatever, but at the end of the day, the Bible says you will know a man by his actions. And in other passages, it talks about how you'll know a person by their fruit. And so, it's very important, you know, that we live differently, because we are, you know, and we pray that those people that don't know him will come to know him, that, you know, the Lord will unharden their heart and give them a heart of flesh and a heart like the Lord, and that he will remove the scales off of their eyes, you know, so they can see. And because we want heaven to be crowded. We want as many people to get into heaven as possible. And so I believe it's in John 3:3 talks about being born again. We want them to be, like you were saying, born again so they can see. Because you have to have the Holy Spirit to interpret the Bible the way it's meant to be interpreted. I mean, you have to have the Holy Spirit. You have to be born again to understand the kingdom. And Jesus even talks about that in certain passages in the New Testament whenever he talks about you know, the Lord revealing these things to certain people and not revealing it to others.
Right. And you know, and you think about that, and I think sometimes we think, oh, God, you know, may love them more, or he's going to bless them more, or he doesn't like them because of what they did, so he's going to destroy them. And that's not the case. The Word actually says that God is no respecter of persons.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. we all have that same benefit. We all have that same righteousness and right through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's whether or not we are saying yes to it or activating that in our lives.
That's right. That's right. Yes.
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 Okay. So you said that, okay, you felt like the Lord wanted you to let go of the horses for a little while, and that you have a shop and, you know, kind of your life. And one of the things that you mentioned is that you are in ministry. And so what does ministry look like for you, where you're at? And where do you feel like God has worked in you to bring about where you are right now?
Well, I think he started it in the salon. Even when I went to hair school, I knew why he sent me. I felt like he was telling me, Tara, there's a lot of people that won't come into a church, but they'll come into a salon. And I want you to show them the love of Christ. Yeah. Because the love of Christ, you know, if people knew how much Jesus loved them, all they would want to do is live for him. And, you know, there's so many people that say they've been hurt by a Christian, they've been hurt by the church. That wasn't God. That was not God. People fall short sometimes. That was not
That's
God.
Right.
God is good all the time. He is good, and he is mighty to save. And so I have had so many people break down in my chair because I know that they felt the love of Christ, and they have continued to come back for years upon years upon years, and I've watched God just transform their lives. And I don't know but he sent them into the salon, and he knew that I would minister, you know? And so I think that's why, another reason why it's so important not to separate. Every one of us are called to be disciples. Every one of us that is a child of God is called to be a disciple.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter if you're working at the drive-thru, you know, show the love of Christ. Have a blessed day, you know? Tell somebody Jesus loves them. And so, yeah, for me, it whenever he asked me to put the horses on the altar and to go to cosmetology school, like, a long time ago now. Anyways, I'm like, holy, that was a long time ago. Anyways, I did, and I've watched him prepare me for this. As the time has went on, he's had me do some, like, evangelist stuff and go out and speak. And then do some stuff at barrel races. Since I am back in the horse business, he did give that back to me. But I do it with him and through him in his way. I only want to do it the way he wants me to do it and in his timing. It's just different than it was before. And so, but I do. I try to minister everywhere I go. Our friend, the Chrissy Davis, we met her. I met her, and I'm sure that you know her. I met her.
Yes.
And she's actually making ministry shirts for us right now. The Lord told me one time, he's like, don't miss an opportunity. And so I try to have on a shirt that represents Christ a lot, because I don't want to miss an opportunity. Even if I don't get to talk to somebody, maybe my shirt will touch their heart or something, you know, or make them
right.
think about the Lord or something like that. So I just think, you know, we don't know how much time we have. We're not promised tomorrow. And so I just think it's so important not to waste an opportunity. It's not to waste an opportunity to minister, to show the love of Christ, and not to waste an opportunity to get closer to the Lord. Talk to him all throughout the day, and to truly just live with him and through him. I mean, my little boy, you know, I don't remember who he told this to, but they asked him something, and he said, oh, my mama prays all the time. it's a lifestyle for us, you know?
That's right.
And I'm sure it is for you, too. But when you're living every moment with him and you truly know him, I'm saying this to encourage somebody, because I believe that somebody is going to be on here and they need to know how much Christ loves them, and he wants to live every moment with you too. If he can do it for me, he can do it for you. Revelation 12:11, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. If he can do it for us, he can do it for you. So whoever you are out there listening, know this, that if he can do it for us, he can do it for you. He wants you. To surrender everything that you have to him so he can do what he's called you to do. Because we know in Psalms 139, talks about how he wrote a book about us. He already has our life planned, but the enemy he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we have a choice, either to live with the Lord and under his protection, or if you walk out of that, you're walking on dangerous ground, you know?
That's right. That's right. You know, you talk about your son telling somebody about, my mama prays all the time. And, you know, that brought up a thought to me. I just recently heard a testimony of a family, and this family is on up in 60s now. And they talk about when they were younger, they knew they had to go to church, you know, and they went to church. But they said that as they were going to, they went to church and they did all the things, but they still were living a life where they carried the world on their shoulders. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't have that at home, you know. Mm-hmm. And so who we are as Christ is, if not when we go to church, we can speak the church language, but then when we go right. home and do our own thing, it's to the point where even our kids know that this is That's real to mama.
Yes.
This is yes. God is real, because my mama believes in him, and you've had that at home as yes. well. It's your way of life. It's not just a church life, but it's a way of life, even yes. at home.
Yes. I think that's so important, because, you know, even when we were younger, I felt like that's how it was. And now my family is fully surrendered to the Lord. Things are completely different. He changed all of our lives. Praise the Lord. But, so many people aren't living every moment for him. They're lukewarm. And that, a lot of times, I feel like that's where Christians get a bad name and get called hypocrites and this and that, because they're going to the bar on Saturday night and they're going to church on Sunday morning. Okay, well, whatever you're doing at the bar, I'm not judging at all, but what I'm saying is that, okay, maybe I should say, if you're going out and getting drunk, okay, and then you're going to, okay, the Lord's going to forgive you if you're truly sorry. I'm not passing judgment upon him. What I'm trying to say is, we are to be examples and representatives of him and live for him in every moment, not just to look good on Sunday. It's like we are to go and sharpen each other on Sunday and to go deeper and all of that. But really, when we leave those doors, we should be ministering, and we should be discipling and making more disciples, and we should be a light for him. Because Matthew 5:14 talks about, you know, he is the light of the world. Well, he is in us, and that is why we are so we are a light for him through the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And no matter where we go, we don't care, you know, if people ever know us or remember us, but we pray that they see the Lord through us. We pray that it points them to him. And so
that's right.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, we don't want to allow a foothold to the enemy for him to be able to say, well, they were doing this or they were doing that. And then that not really disqualify, but Paul talks about that in the New Testament, where he trains his body like an athlete. So after he preaches, he won't disqualify himself. We live it. We have
That's
to
right.
live it.
That's right. And, you know, I keep thinking about a series that I've been listening to, and it's teaching on spirit, soul, and body. And what happens is once we accept Christ as our Lord, our spirit is automatically saved and perfect, but our
mm-hmm.
flesh is not.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is you begin to feed the spirit
yes.
versus feeding the flesh. And as
yes.
you feed that spirit, and you talked about that at the beginning of the show, the more you seek God, the more those other things just happen to go away. You know, it's just like those aren't important anymore. And as you
yes.
feed that spirit, those things will help train your flesh.
Yes.
And then you're
yes.
old, you're saved no matter what. Your spirit is saved.
Yes.
But sometimes
yes.
sometimes we just do. We make mistakes. We make wrong choices. Sometimes we have desires that we shouldn't have, and we follow through with those desires. But that's what we do, is we continue to feed that spirit by
yes.
going to the Word and by praying.
Yes, and praise God for his grace and his mercy. I mean, praise the Lord, we are saved by grace through faith. We just have to get out of the baby stage, and we have to grow up in maturity in our relationship with the Lord so we can actually do what he's called us to do, you know?
That's right. That's right.
Because we
and,
can't stay in baby stage forever. We gotta go higher with him, go deeper in him, you know?
I know. And, you know, of course, you know, I was talking about, I'm in the stage of my life where I have grandbabies, and I have one right now that is on formula, and that's all he eats is formula. And could you imagine if he had formula for the rest of his life?
Yeah.
You know, he couldn't do that for his flesh.
Right.
So let's think about that. You know, the Bible says that we have to get off of that milk.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get off that milk, but move on to meat, and that's the meat of the Word. And it's just
yes.
like in our physical body, we're not going to drink formula or milk for the rest of our lives. No, we're going to move on to the good stuff, you know, the stuff that's, that fills us. And that's how it is in our walk as a Christian, is we may start out, we're going to start out on the milk because we're just getting into this. But the more you get into it, then you can handle just a little bit more. And then you get ready and your spirit's ready for a little bit more. And that's that going to the Word. And that's how you do that. That's how you progress. It's like going to the Word.
Yes, and I just feel like the Lord want me to say this right now. If there's somebody listening and they're like, man, I just don't know how to do that. I don't know how to, I mean, this. Here's the thing. It's not a spirit of religion. We don't need a spirit of religion. We need the Holy Spirit. So we cannot fix ourselves. I'm an example of that myself. You cannot fix yourself, but as you get more filled up with God, as you draw closer to Him and you ask Him, Lord, fill me up so full of your Holy Spirit that you're the only thing that can and does and will live in and through and all over and all around me, He will do that. And He will continue to pour into you. And as the Holy Spirit comes, the bad has to leave. He filters out the bad. And so we want to be so full of Him that no bad can stay. Okay, so okay. I encourage you, if you're wondering, you know, if somebody out there is wondering, well, how do I do that? You don't have to. Let Him fix you. The Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they'll do it. Our job is to love Him, delight in Him, put Him first. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. We seek Him first, and He will do it. But we delight in Him. And, you know, it talks about how faith without works is dead. Man, we talked about this at the women's conference. And the reason that is because if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, living with the Lord, you're going to go out and do His will. And that is going to be fruit of being filled. We know that the fruit of the Spirit is goodness, patience, kindness, gentleness, love, self-control, and all of those things. But what I'm saying is, you're going to go and do, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you're wanting to do His will, you're not just going to sit there and not do anything. You're going to be listening to the Holy Spirit. You're going to be going out and doing. And that's why it says faith without works is dead, because we know that we are saved by grace through faith. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to go do His will.
That's right. That's right. And so it's on your heart that the listeners may be struggling right now with that. And so, you know, they're like, well, I'm in this situation. I don't know how to overcome this addiction I have in my life. I don't know how to overcome the desire for the sin that I have in my life. I don't know how to do that. And so would you just be willing to pray for our listeners that if they're in that situation, that you would just pray for them and you would encourage them?
Yes. Lord, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just ask for every person, Father God, that is listening that wants this. Father God, if you're willing, I just pray that you will touch their life. I pray that everybody that wants the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire will receive it in the name of Jesus, just like whenever Peter walked through the streets. Even just the cast of his shadow healed people and delivered them from evil spirits. And so, God, we know that if you can do it then, you can do it now. And, Father God, we know that if you can do it by a shadow, you can do it through the radio. And so, Father God, we just ask that you move upon your people. We ask that anybody that's dealing with depression, that the depression has to leave now in the name of Jesus. We ask that anybody that is dealing with suicidal thoughts, that those evil thoughts have to leave now in the name of Jesus. I ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will fill each and every one of your people and these listeners so full of your Holy Spirit that you're the only thing that can and does and will live in us, through us, all over us, and all around us in the name of Jesus. I pray that the Holy Spirit will be so abundant and so evident in and through and all over and all around our lives that the enemy will literally have to run away in the name of Jesus. I pray that you will instill a confidence in your people that can only come from your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. By the blood you shed for us on that cross, we are co-heirs with you, and it is our inheritance. Yes. Father God, we praise you and we thank you for the freedom in Jesus. We thank you for the freedom in you. You came to give us life, and life in the abundant overflow. And Father, we want to thank you, for we don't have to settle for anything less, because you are our dad, you are our father. And no matter what this world says, we know what you say about us. And we give you all the honor, glory, praise, and thanks in the name above every name, in Jesus Christ, holy name, amen.
Amen and amen. And so if you're that person, if you're a listener, you know, if you're struggling or if you're not like, okay, I know I need to get into the Word. And so, Tara, what would you tell them? What would be a good way for them to start to get into the Word? What advice would you give them? Okay, you're new to this, and so this is what I'd say. When you do this, go do this. And so do you have any advice for them on how they can get started in seeking God in this matter?
Yeah, so I personally feel with all my heart, like giving God our best. So waking up extra early, praying and getting in the Word, and try to get somewhere alone. You might, if you got kids or whatever, try to get into a quiet spot, pray and get in the Word. One of my favorite Bibles is the Fire Bible, and it's an amazing study Bible as well. And you can just tell that the man was very filled with the Holy Spirit. And I always pray before I get in the Word in the morning, you know, Lord, please bless me with wisdom and knowledge and understanding and insight of your Word that is beyond my years, that can only come from your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. And I just ask that the Holy Spirit will teach me and guide me in the Word of God and help me to memorize it and bake it in my heart. So that way, whenever I go out, he can pull it out of me anytime he needs to, that I pray, you know, that every word on my lips is the Holy Spirit through me. Well, even before I knew the Word like this, the Holy Spirit was speaking through me like that. But when I got in the Word, he also used his Word to confirm. And then I even was able to speak with more boldness because I knew that it was also in the Word as well. So that's why it's just so important for us to have an amazing balance of prayer and the Bible and the Holy Spirit and living every moment with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, because we've got to have that balance, because you don't want to ever get a spirit of religion, you know, where you
out of obligation and you're just
right. Yes, Jesus is freedom. We want to have exactly. Jesus is fun. If anybody thinks he is boring, you don't know him. I never know what's going to happen. You know, I mean, well, we know in the Word that it's John 15:13-15. It says the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth, and he will tell you of things of the future. And so what I was going to say is he will tell you certain things that are coming in your life, and he will prepare you. But there are certain things that he's going to have you walk by faith and not by sight. And so I will tell you this, living every moment with the Lord, it is never boring. It is extremely entertaining and fun. So make sure you don't get a spirit of religion, and make sure that you literally just listen to him. He'll tell you. I do recommend if you're new to this, make sure you start I would recommend starting in the New Testament, because you need to understand that grace. You need to understand that mercy. You need to understand all that. And I love the Old Testament as well. But man, you know, John is super good. He's going to explain a lot about the Holy Spirit in the book of John. And if you need some encouragement, go to Ephesians. But the Word is amazing, and I don't know how anybody could ever get tired of reading this, because it's truly living. And the thing is God wants to unfold this Bible in your life today. He wants it to become alive in you today. The battles that were won in this, he wants to win them for you too. And so that's the thing, is we've got to apply it to our life and realize that if he can do it for them, he can do it for us, and he wants to. And just know that there is nothing that any of us have done that Christ's blood can't cover. His blood washes away all of our sins, and he can still use you. And your testimony could help somebody. So I encourage you to go out and to know that God wants to use you, and that he will use you if you'll allow him to.
That's right. And, you know, one thing I want to, because this is something that happened to me when I started seeking the Word, and I wanted to hear from God and was new in it. Sometimes, you have to be diligent in that, because the first time you sit down with the Lord, he's there and he's with you, but you may not always hear something right away, but to continue to keep seeking him, because he will, because his Word says, anyone who lacks wisdom, let him ask and I'll give it. And so that's what you're doing. You're going to the Word for that wisdom. And so when you, and like what you said, pray until, And so keep going every morning until the Lord you have heard from him through his word or just whatever that he confirms in you that that's what he's saying. Just keep doing it. So if you don't hear something now, just keep doing it and keep doing it until you do.
Yes. And then another thing, you know, Acts 2:17 talks about, you know, how he will pour out his spirit on men and women alike, and they will have dreams and visions, and it talks about all that. And I encourage you, the Lord speaks through dreams a lot for me. And I know that he does that with a lot of his children. So, you know, I just encourage you to ask the Lord to send you dreams and visions that come from him and only him. And whenever he does, to please bless you with the revelation and interpretation and a confirmation of that word. So you'll know exactly what you need to do, how you need to do it, all for his honor, for his glory, for his praise. Because sometimes, you know, he might send a warning dream. Sometimes he might send a dream, you know, that's telling you what's coming. And he reveals a lot through dreams and visions. And so I just encourage you to not ever put a limit on God, because he is limitless and he has unlimited resources. He didn't ask us to figure it all out. He asked us to go and to do what he asked us to do, and he will part the sea. He will make the way.
That's right. That is so right. So will you just talk a little bit about, because you had talked about this a little bit at the beginning of the show, but you were in the ship, but you weren't, and I forget how you worded it, basically in the army of the Lord. You weren't. And so will you talk a little bit about that, you know, about the ship and how we need to be that ambassador?
Well,
you know, I'm talking about, you say, you're talking about.
Well, there was a talk that I talked about at the conference, and it had to do with whenever there's one passage where Jesus' disciples are in the boat, and they had rowed like 3 or 4 miles, and Jesus came to them, and at first they were a little bit nervous, and then they realized it was Jesus. Well, when Jesus got in the boat, they says that they immediately got to their destination. And so, you know, if things haven't worked for you in the past, I encourage you to let Jesus in your boat and to let him be the one in charge, to let him be the center. Because when the will of God and what he's blessed you with and the Holy Spirit all get together, it's like a supernatural power source that can take you farther than any man could take you, that can do things that's beyond this world, all for the glory to God. But see, the thing is so many people try to do it in their own strength, but the Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so he is our strength, you know, and when we are weak, he is strong and he fills the gaps. And so I encourage somebody that even if you've cast your net before, there's so many, you know, there was times whenever Peter and them, that they would cast their net and they wouldn't catch anything. Jesus would tell them to cast again. They would cast and they would have a multitude of fish, just tons of fish in their net. And it's all about listening to Jesus. What you've done before might not have worked because maybe, I don't know, maybe it wasn't in God's timing. Maybe you were trying to do it your way. But if we do things God's way, and it might not look like the world, he might have you take a completely different route. But don't ever underestimate small beginnings. I believe it's in Zechariah. Don't quote me on that, but it says the Lord, he loves the plumb line. He loves the beginning of the work. He loves it. And see, we know in Zechariah 4:6, it talks about not by might, not by force, but by the Spirit of the Lord, says the Lord of heaven's army. So see, we're partnering with Christ. We work as if it's all up to us, but we pray as if it's all up to God. And he does his part, we do our part, and it joins together, and it's like a power source, a supernatural power source.
That's right. And you had said whenever Jesus got in the boat, they hadn't caught fish all night long, and then instantly their boat was so full that they were about to drown, you know, about to sink. And you had mentioned this also at the conference, is what we try to do for years, God can take care of in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, my life literally changed. Oh, like, my life changed so fast when I fully surrendered everything. See, God's not a genie in a bottle. He knows if you're sincere about fully surrendering or not. He knows if you're like, well, I'm just going to try this. No, like, that's probably not going to work. Like, you've got to be all in. No doubt. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm done with Tara. I want none of Tara. I want the Lord. I want his way. I want his will. Here I am, Lord, send me, Isaiah 6:8. You know? Like,
that's right.
That he knows. See, you can hide maybe from some people, but see, God knows everything. He knows if you're telling him you're going to fully surrender, he knows whether it's genuine or not. And if it's genuine, he will move upon your life.
You know, it makes me think about people that think they can keep secrets from God or they can hide from God. And I say that, and as I'm laughing, because I was one of those people. You know, I'm feeling really bad about this. So I'm not going to talk to God about it. You know, we'll just pretend like it's not really there. And that's not the case. It's like, why wouldn't we just go ahead and talk to God about it? He already knows anyway. It's not like we're keeping any secrets. So just, you know, just let go and let God and just give it to him and talk to him about it. And you know what? Maybe you did mess up. But that's okay. He loves you anyway. But we can't hide things from God.
Yeah. Yeah. No. We can't hide things from God. He sees everything. He's everywhere. And I'm so thankful that, you know, he's omnipotent and he can live in every one of us. And, you know, I heard that deal the other day and it was so good. It talks about how we need to have somebody in our life that's deeper than us in faith. And we also need to be helping pull somebody else up, you know?
Yes.
And so
yes.
We can always learn more. We can always learn more. And we need to also be helping encourage other people and helping bring somebody else up with us. Hopefully multiple people, but you know, there's usually somebody God's put in your life that you know that he has divinely put them there and you're supposed to help them, you know?
That's right. That's exactly right. And, you know, I also think about, like, whenever you were talking about when you were a hairdresser, which I know you're still a hairdresser, but when people that came into your chair and that you were willing to open up and share that with them, I believe that was a divine appointment. I don't think that those things happen by accident. I believe God sends them to you. And that's one thing I've really been trying to stress to the listeners over the last year or so is that the ministry is not up to the pastor. The ministry is up to the people, that we have to go out wherever we are at in our job place, in our facility, and just loving on people right then and there, you know, right there.
Yes. I can't tell you how many prayers have been prayed for people in the salon, at their car. I mean, it's just, this is, you know, at first it was very much probably more of an undercover ministry, but at this point everybody knows that. If they need prayer, Tara will pray for them. You know, I mean, at this point
that's
it's
right.
Definitely people know that it's also a ministry. But at the beginning it was kind of an undercover ministry, and I don't know. It was just neat because so many people didn't know that what they were going to get, and I pray that they saw Jesus whenever. You know, through us, you know, I pray that they saw Jesus through me, and it pointed them to him. And I hope that they wanted more of him because they felt him and saw him through me.
Yes. And so as we are somewhat trying to wind the show down just a little bit, can you believe our time is already about to come to an end? It just goes so fast and enjoyable when you're talking about the Lord.
Yes.
But as we're coming, you know, as, well, you know, oh, yeah, okay, I remember now. I was like, what was I going to say? So, you know, what are you available? You know, you said you began to evangelize, be an evangelist, and speak at different places. And so is that something that you are doing? I mean, like, can some of our listeners, if they want to have you at their church, are you available for that?
Yeah, I pray about it and I'm like, Lord, let your will be done, you know, where I speak and where you take me. I do go speak at places, for sure, whenever, God willing and the time works out. That's what he's put on my heart is ministry. I absolutely love the horses, you know, that, I'm so thankful that he has blessed me to be able to do what he put my heart to do. But I'm also so thankful that he allows me to minister at the rodeos and stuff too. He literally combines them as well. And so I feel like the ministry at the rodeos and stuff is growing too. And I love that because it kind of unites the two. But I definitely love going to speak at churches and stuff, especially churches that could probably relate to me more in the, you know, Western side of things, agriculture, animals, understanding, you know, that kind of stuff, because they can probably relate to, like, what we do more on a day-to-day basis, you know, rather than, I mean, Jesus can help anybody.
That's right.
But I'm just saying they would probably, and I'm just saying, as for me as a person, what I do, that I might relate better to people that are in the Western industry versus, like, people that live in Dallas or something, you know?
Right. But, which, I don't know, some of your Dallas people, too, they like their animals. They like their Longhorns.
Oh, that's true. That's true. And, I mean, like I said, God can use anybody, anytime, anywhere, as long as you're willing. And so I wouldn't put it past me. However he wants to use me, I'm good with that, for sure. And I'm just big enough to use it, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's right. So if people want to get in contact with you, what would be, can I find you on Facebook? Do you have an email? Do you have any way that if people wanted to just, you know, hey, I really like her, I just want to connect with her, and maybe she can encourage me a little bit, how can they get a hold of you that way?
Oh, yeah, I would probably I would say Facebook or Instagram. I probably am a little bit better at posting on Facebook, but I try to keep updates and stuff when I'll be ministering on Facebook. I try on Instagram as well, but it seems like tags and stuff kind of go more broad sometimes on Facebook for me. And so, Yeah, Facebook would be a good way if you want to keep up. And, I just encourage everybody out there to just let him use them. And no matter what you do, you know, there was a season in my life that I ran marathons pretty much full time, and he really taught me how to hear his voice more clearly running all those miles. And so don't underestimate, you know, where God's going to speak to you, what he's going to have you do to draw you closer to him, because he can work any way he wants to, and he knows how he wired you.
Yes, and that is so good, and that is a good note that we actually can close on, that it may not look like what somebody else is, but God's going to do it tailored to you and to your personality, and he made you unique, and he wants to use you, and he needs to use you in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just think one other thing, you know, to just kind of leave on would be comparison, to not compare yourself to other people, because the story that God wrote about you was uniquely designed for you. You weren't supposed to look like somebody else. You weren't supposed to be a copy of anybody else. The enemy, he tries to copy, but God made you a masterpiece, created and woven by the one true King. And so I just encourage you out there listening, that to know, don't compare yourself to somebody else's journey or how fast somebody else got somewhere. Know that in confidence that what God is doing with you is the best way for you, and he will get you to your destination if you live with him and you live through him, and it will be better than you could have ever asked, dreamed, or imagined, or ever knew could be possible, all for the glory to God. And that's in Ephesians 3:20.
That is perfect. That's a perfect note. And so on a Sunday night, we pray that you go to bed, you know, knowing that you are God's masterpiece, and that you just need to go out and just say yes. And so I want to thank you so much for being on the show with us and encouraging us. I hope you're willing to come back, because it's really been a joy to hear from you. I really wanted to remind our listeners that we do have our website, which is That's actually our home church that is based out of a ministry, but it's Sunday Night Live. .org, and we have all of our past shows archive on there as well, but also my email is in there. And I would just really encourage you, if this show has blessed you or has spoken to you, or, you know, Tara said, hey, I feel like someone is feeling this, if that was you, we want to hear from you. And I just really encourage you to email me, and I can get in touch with Tara. But also, this is something exciting, is we now have taken our radio show and turned them into podcasts. And so we do have our Sunday Night Live podcast on Spotify and on Google. And so if you want someone to share this with someone, you can also go there, and they can just listen to it on their phone. And so help you keep up with what's going on with Sunday Night Live and who we have. And again, we just want to say good night. And Tara, I'll let you say good night, and we will go from there.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for having me. It was such a blessing and an honor. And thank you, all of you guys, for listening. And I hope that the message did encourage you, and if it touched you, I know that it was the Holy Spirit through me, because I know that there's nothing good in me alone, but there's everything goodness through God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. And so I just encourage you to leave your confidence in the Lord and not yourself, and keep pushing forward on what He said about you and what He can do through you, and to know that you're a child of God. Y'all have a blessed night.
Yeah, amen. Good night, everybody.